Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church, another beautiful Sunday to praise our God. Even when we face death. Death is all around us. Death is something that we have to face every single day. So how are God's people supposed to face even death in this life? By trusting in the fact that God is the Lord of life. That's what we'll celebrate today. God will remind us of the fact that He is the Lord of life. One of the ways that He gives us His life is through the Lord's Supper. So prepare your minds and hearts today to receive the body and blood of the Lord. Now, this is a meal where we celebrate our unity. So if you are not one with us in the faith and you'd like to know how you can commune with us in the future, please speak with myself or Pastor Colander after the service. We'd love to talk about how we can make that happen. Let's worship our God and celebrate how He is with us in this life, beginning with Hymn 588, verses 1 through 3. God bless your worship this morning. You may remain seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us. Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worry and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do, you should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In His great mercy, God made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through His called servant. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life, hear our prayer, O Lord. for the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you. Hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you. Amen. Amen. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, by the leading of a star, you once made known to the nations your one and only Son. Guide us also who know him now by faith to come at last to the perfect joy of your heavenly glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. The first lesson this morning, as we take a look at how our God is the Lord of life, is a great example of that. In the Old Testament book of 1 Kings chapter 17, we see a widow experience that firsthand, but notice what happens after she experiences that. From 1 Kings chapter 17. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" "Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "Lord my God, have you brought tragedy even on this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried out to the Lord, "Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." The word of the Lord. Join together in the psalm of the day, Psalm 30. Psalm 30.
The second lesson comes from Philippians chapter 1, where we get a little snippet of Paul's confidence in the Lord of life, but not just for the life to come, also for his hope and purpose in this life. From Philippians 1. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. The word of the Lord. The reason Paul had such hope and such confidence is because of what is expressed in our verse of the day from 2 Corinthians 5. Alleluia! God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Alleluia. Now please stand in honor of the gospel. The gospel this morning comes from Luke chapter 7. This will also serve as the sermon text for today. From Luke 7. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person who was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearer stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated for our hymn of the day, "Oh, for a faith that will not shrink," number 405 in the Red Songbooks.
Thank you.
God's life is given to you through Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, amen. The sermon text for today, as I said, comes from Luke chapter 7. If you'd like to follow along, let us begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your authority. Amen. Last year, when my son Gideon's cousins were visiting, it was pretty fun to watch them play. They're always very excited, and they were always playing together really well. But Gideon's one cousin is 8 months older than him. So Gideon would always defer to her in everything. Everything they wanted to do. She'd say, Gideon, let's go over here and do this. And he'd go, okay, and follow her. Gideon, come over here. Let's play with this toy. Okay. I need to follow her again. Gideon, now come over here. Let's go play with this stuff. Okay, sure. But eventually, one time, when she said, Gideon, let's go over there and play in the playhouse. And she went running off. Gideon turns to Heather, the pained look on his face, and says, Mom, I don't want to go over there and play. Heather said, Buddy, it's okay. You don't have to if you don't want to. But still, he had this pained look, sloughed his shoulders down, and went following after her anyway, reluctantly. He had, like, made her the master of his life, every decision that had to be made. She said, do this, and he had to comply. He had to follow. Now, I know it's just two kids playing around, but it's actually a pretty accurate picture of what you and I let happen in our lives too. Who's your master? Who is the Lord of your life? What do you let lord it over you? That's what we're going to answer today. Who is the Lord of your life? We sinfully let a lot of things lord it over our lives, don't we? Maybe it's a particular sin, or a worry that's got us, or some sort of focus that's misguided. But perhaps there is nothing that lords it over our minds and our hearts more than death. We really do let death become the lord of our life. When we lose a loved one, we have a lot of mourning, and a lot of sorrow, and a lot of grief. And that's to be understood. But death lords it over our lives, and its effects go much further than even that. Death lords it over our lives with fear. Death makes us have a fear of our own death, and so we try to make good life-preserving decisions. The fear of death of our loved ones, or especially our children, makes us want to wrap them in bubble wrap wherever they go. Make every decision for them. The fear of death also brings with it a lot of other fears. The fear of the unknown. The fear of loneliness. The fear of separation. Death really does lord it over us with fear. Death lords it over us with despair, too. Despair is the lack of hope. Death can make us question whether heaven really exists. It can make us wonder if we really are going to have eternal life. But it's not just the hope in the future that death affects with despair. It's also hope in the here and now, in our lives here on this earth. Sometimes we think to ourselves, how am I ever going to be happy in this life? We let despair take over our hearts to the point where we feel like joy isn't even possible. God took this person from me, therefore I'll never be joyful again. Or maybe I will be joyful, and I'll try to work towards it, but it just won't ever be the same. I won't be as joyful. We resign ourselves to this feeling that, well, I'll just always be a little bit depressed. And that reveals that death lords it over us with another really strong emotion, pessimism. There's nothing that really brings out pessimism more than death.
because there's nothing that reveals the effects of sin more than death. When we experience a death in our lives, it causes us to really see evil everywhere. We see it in the people around us, in the situations around us, in the world around us. It makes us question whether there's any good at all in this world. It's kind of the, well, this world's going to hell in a handbasket, and I'm stuck here kind of mentality. Makes us wonder if God is even up there. And that brings us to the other way that death lords it over us. And this is really the heart of the whole issue. Death lords it over us by creating doubt. We doubt God's love, His compassion, that He sees our situation. We doubt His power and His authority. Death really does lord it over our lives. Does it lord over your lives more than you realize? More than you'd like to admit? Is death the lord of your life? No. No, death is not the lord of your life. You have a different lord. And not even death was a match for him. As Jesus was walking this earth, and he was about to approach a little town called Nain, he had very recently shown that he was the lord of everything. That was what a centurion noticed. That's what we saw last week in the gospel lesson. He knew that Jesus could simply give the command and the sickness that was afflicting his servant would be gone. But Luke, the gospel writer, didn't want us to think that Jesus only had authority over ailments and illnesses. His authority and power goes far beyond that. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. So we see two different types of groups meet on the road just before Nain. We see a group that is filled with joy and excitement over Jesus' power and his gospel that he was preaching. And we see a group that is filled with sorrow and grief. And it was a deep sorrow and grief because of the situation that this woman now found herself in. This woman had already lost her husband, and now she lost her son, too, her only son. That's a tragic situation in and of itself, but it's especially tragic back in that day. Back in that day, the father was the one who provided for his family. He's the one that had claim to inheritance and land. When he died, that all passed on to the son. Now, it was the son's responsibility to provide for his family. This woman had lost even her son. Now she had no one to provide for her. So you can understand the multiple reasons why she would be weeping bitterly. Not only did she have despair over her situation in the future, but also had despair of the loss of the loved ones that she had. Enter Jesus. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Jesus was immediately filled with compassion for this woman. This word that means to have a heart go out or have compassion is a word that's only used of God in the New Testament, usually of Jesus. And it's of his compassion for people. It's being deeply moved within himself for people. Simply put, it reveals God's heart. And did you notice what Luke calls Jesus? It was the very first time in this gospel that Luke himself refers to Jesus as Lord. And he was about to live up to that title. Knowing the situation that this woman is going through with these two groups meeting each other, Jesus takes control of the situation. He starts handing out these commands and taking authority of everything. First command he gives, a very soft command to the woman, "Don't cry." She was about to see why. Then he went up and touched the bier,
And they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. The second show of authority that Jesus gave, he touched the beer. Now, we're not talking about the sudsy kind of beer. We're talking about a beer that's sort of like a coffin, but not really. It's more like a stretcher. There were two long poles where they could carry a dead body outside of town to its burial place, usually in a tomb. Jesus touched the beer. That was a statement in itself. In the Old Testament laws, God wanted to make very clear the connection between death and sin. So even coming in contact with a dead body meant you were ceremonially unclean. Never says Jesus touched the body, but at the very least, he had no hesitation in approaching the bier and touching it. This was a sign of authority that even those carriers recognized because they stood still. Then Jesus did something authoritative again. "Young man, I say to you, get up." Jesus actually gives a command to a dead person. And he listened. The dead man sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. He sat up immediately and began to talk, showed that he was alive. The dead person had to listen to the Lord. And did you catch that Jesus handed him back to her mother, his mother? Did you catch the connection with this whole situation and that phrase with the first lesson? The miracle that Elijah had the same exact phrase and gave him back to his mother. In the Greek Old Testament, Luke uses the same Greek. What he's doing is he's connecting both, showing that Jesus really does have this power. But he's making that connection to emphasize not just the connection, but also the differences. What did Elijah have to do to raise the young boy of the widow? He had to cry out to the Lord. He had to stretch himself over the boy three separate times. And the Lord listened to him. For Jesus, it was, get up. Just gave a command and dead person had to listen. This was quite the show of authority from the Lord. And when the people saw that authority and that power, how did they respond? They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. First, the people responded with fear. That literally means they were taken by fear and praised God. But this was a godly fear. This was a fear that filled with awe and reverence and respect. The people recognized who actually had the power and authority, and it wasn't death. It was the Lord. And that caused them to praise God, because then if there was a prophet that could do this again among God's people, then God certainly still had a heart for his people. And the news about Jesus spread throughout everywhere. Whether you and I realize it or not, we respond with the same fear and praise. You want proof? Facing death is different with Christ, isn't it? Do you ever deal with the aftermath of losing a loved one and you think to yourself, how do non-Christians do this? How do people that don't know about Jesus and what he did and what it means face death? That right there proves that there is hope there. There might be some gloom that we cake on top of it, but it is in there. And it is a glorious hope. The Lord of life himself came, gave up his life for our sins, only to take it back up again. That means that the Lord of life has given us his life. There is no more glorious hope than that. Someday you and I will rise to life by the same authoritative command of Jesus. But the hope that we have isn't just in the future. It's also in the here and now. It's in the present. It's an active hope. It's a living hope. This living hope recognizes who our God is. And that brings us comfort.
If we have a God who has compassion enough to send his son to walk this earth, to win our eternal life, and his son, while he was here, had his heart go out to this lowly widow in Nain, then his heart goes out to all of us lowly Christians as well, but in his eyes we're not lowly. He has compassion for us the same way. When you combine that compassion with that power and authority, what is it that you and I could possibly fear? Yes, we might have death and tragedy strike us in our lives. We might have death and tragedy strike our family's lives and our children. But what do we really have to fear? He even commands dead people. And when we have a God that is compassionate, authoritative like that, that really drives out all pessimism. Because if a God is willing to look on our situation the same way as that widow, then what do we have to be negative about? Who has a more positively glorious situation than God's people? God might not raise up our loved ones like he did for this widow and wait until the last day to do so. But that doesn't mean you and I here in this life don't have that same God looking out for us. This is a God who loves to bring life where there is death. It's like his MO. He is the Lord of life. That means even in those situations where we feel dead, where we feel spiritually dead and low, we have gloom, the Lord shines his light with his grace and his powerful word, and he brings life to it. With all of this comfort and this hope and this trust that we have in Jesus, that just proves that the Lord of life has already worked his powerful authority in our hearts as well. It's proof that he has spoken in our hearts and said, I say to you, get up. And we have. This is the life that you and I get to live in. This is the life that you and I get to share, just as Paul recognized. Death is going to try to lord it over you for the rest of your life. So when death brings that fear, that despair, that pessimism, that doubt, you tell death, be quiet. Because you aren't the one that's reluctantly following everywhere death goes. No, death is the one that's reluctantly following everywhere Jesus tells him to go. So who is your master? Who is the Lord of your life? The Lord of life. And as Luke reveals to us in this account, he really is the Lord of life. Amen. Please stand. May the Lord of life give you his life here and now and ultimately on the last day as well. Amen. We now confess our faith together publicly here in the Lord of life according to the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
We now join together in one mind and one heart in the prayer of the church to our Lord. Gracious Father, please help everyone who is faced with health challenges this week, especially David Scaltetti, who will be having bypass surgery tomorrow. Make your power known in their lives, their families' lives, and through their doctors and nurses. Lift their spirits with the resurrection of Christ and the hope of his return. Continue to bless all those who are celebrating birthdays. Give them many more years to grow in knowledge of you so they can continue to glorify you in thought, word, and deed. Lord, we thank you for the love of those celebrating anniversaries. In your divine wisdom, continue to allow both good days and bad to draw their hearts and lives closer to each other, that they may be an example of the love you have for us all. Lord of life, grant pleasant memories to everyone mourning and thinking of loved ones who have passed. Be with them in these difficult times and point them forward to the moment when you will raise up all people, reuniting body and soul on the last day. In the meantime, give us all the comfort and hope you bring through your word of promise. Continually be the Lord over our hearts and minds. Thank you, Lord, also for the freedoms we enjoy in this country. Stir in us a greater appreciation of what those freedoms mean for our day-to-day lives, especially spiritually. Therefore, also guide us to fulfill our responsibility to make disciples here in this land. Help us not take for granted the sacrifices that were made so that the 4th of July can indeed be a celebration of these freedoms. Keep us and all of our loved ones safe as we celebrate these things to your glory. We ask all of this in the Lord's name. Amen. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It
is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who came as the light of the world so that the world might have light and life through him. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song.
Thank you.
Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, and we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power. By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By his rising from the grave, he opened heaven. Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us with Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
Please stand. We give you thanks, O Lord, for the foretaste of the heavenly banquet that you have given us to eat and to drink in this sacrament. Through this gift you have fed our faith, nourished our hope, and strengthened our love. By your Spirit help us to live as your holy people until that day when you will receive us as your guests at the wedding supper of the Lamb, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen. You may be seated for our closing hymn, the final two verses of hymn 588.
Good morning, everyone, on this beautiful last Sunday of June. It's a pleasure to worship with all of you this morning. If you're a visitor, then please stop by our Welcome Center out in the lobby. There's a gift waiting for you there, and we hope that you come and worship with us again. Today we have Sunday school, as usual. Sunday school at 9:15. We'll be getting together in room 803 at 9:15. Teen Bible class in the balcony in the teen room, and then two adult Bible classes. The one here in the church is studying the Gospel of Luke, and the one in the chapel is studying a topic called the New Life in Christ. So we invite you to stay for those Bible classes. Next Sunday, the first Sunday of July, we will be installing the officers of our church. These are the men that have been selected and ratified by the congregation to serve as the leaders of our church. That will be happening at the end of the early service and also at the beginning of the late service. We ask you to keep these leaders in your prayers. And the names of those leaders are listed in the weekly news update that you can pick up. There's a new organization that's starting at St. Mark's. It's called the St. Mark's Truck Club, and that is an organization that's going to focus on service and fellowship, and there's information in the update about that new organization, too. As we get into July, the days of the week for Vacation Bible School is coming up. We have a Vacation Bible School here at St. Mark's, not only for children of our members, but for an outreach effort, too. So if you know of a family that might be interested in Vacation Bible School, encourage them to sign up, to register for that. That's coming up in July. And finally, this morning, we're going to finish up with some slides of school events that happened in the last couple of months of school. We hope you enjoy the slides, and God bless you, and have a great week.